Over the last 30 years, Scott Davidson has led various music ensembles in Delaware. Like so many others, he also sought out musical guidance from the late Boyse Lowry. However, it was another musician and student of Lowry's who really caught Davidson's attention.
Over the years, I kept hearing Lem Winchester's name.
Davidson discovered that he'd recorded music on major labels like Prestige, now Concord Records. That was over 15 years ago when Davidson set out to uncover the story of the Bop Cop, as Lem Winchester became known. Lem was a policeman, but his passion was music. Davidson says he'd play often at a restaurant in the Governor Prince Boulevard Merchandise Mart shopping center.
He used to take off his gun when he would do the night shift. He'd come to the restaurant in his police uniform, take off his gun, and start playing the vibes. And then he would go to work.
It was there that Lem got to know the John Chowning Trio. Eventually, one of Chowning's distant relatives who worked with RCA Records invited Lem to be a guest on one of their recordings in New York City.
Then John Chowning's father sent a recording to a well-known jazz critic named Leonard Feather, who anybody in jazz knows who Leonard Feather is.
Feather was in charge of booking new artists, and he gave Lem his big break, inviting him to perform at the 1958 Newport Jazz Festival.
They didn't give him enough money to bring his regular rhythm section from Wilmington, so he used a rhythm section from the Herb Pomeroy Big Band.
He was featured on one side of a New Faces of Newport album and was flooded with opportunities. Lem began billing himself as the Lionel Hampton of Wilmington and recorded more and more music.
And he used people like Art Taylor and Max Roach, and he did an album with Benny Golson.
By 1960, he'd recorded several albums already.
Yeah, that's a lot. And in a two-year time span, that is a great deal. It's unheard of.
That's Shirley Scott, who, like Davidson, developed a keen interest in Lem's family. She's the author of B Street Family Ties, detailing the interweaving of the Wilkerson, Winchester, and Davis families on B Street in Wilmington's Southbridge community. Lem came from humble beginnings. He was born in 1928 to Mary Ann Davis, a single mother. William Wilkerson took them both in and married Davis, but he introduced baby Lemuel to his relatives, the Winchesters, who eventually adopted him. Davidson again.
Apparently, if you had a family who was poor and they had a lot of kids, and there was another couple that couldn't have kids, and it was very common for that couple to adopt one from another family.
Together, Lem's mom and William Wilkerson had 14 kids, including Millie, later to become Millie Cannon, a well-known jazz vocalist in the area. Lem grew up directly across the street from his mom and multiple step-siblings, and as Scott detailed in her book, that proximity helped forge a musical connection.
Lem, her Uncle Joe, who's also a musician, their grandfather, they would be at the dinner table after the meal. Lem would have the spoons, the grandfather would have the ukulele, and Millie's father wasn't a musical man, so he was the one tapping his foot a lot.
Maurice Sims grew up with Lem.
My oldest friend. See, Lem could play the piano. Never had a lesson. He get on that thing, man. Play like Lionel Hampton. Imitate Lionel Hampton. You ever hear Lionel Hampton do the two fingers thing? Billy do dun. But Lem could do that all up and down the piano. Make you cry. He played so good.
That musical ability developed at a young age.
Lem, I get on the piano. Lem get on the violin. Press was working up post office. He's chasing me out of the post. We sneak in his apartment. That's when Lem. We sneak in there. Lem just started to vibe. Press's vibes in there. I said, man, that don't sound too bad.
Scott says Millie's second husband eventually gave his vibes to Lem.
He said Lem was so good. This is Millie telling me the story. Lem was so good that he didn't want to get on the vibes anymore. He gave Lem his vibes. Go ahead, man. You take it. You got it. And he went back to the keyboard, and that was it. He was done with the vibes after that.
But Lem's quality of life differed from his 14 step-siblings. Lem's adopted father, William Winchester, made a good salary as a city councilman.
He was privileged in the sense that his uncle Winchester and his aunt Bert gave him whatever he had, a boat, he had stuff that that other kids in the community didn't have.
Davidson says Mr. Winchester, who in 1945 became the first Black representative in the legislature, also helped Lem get a job.
So he pulled strings and got his son a job as a cop, because which was at that time a really good job for an African American.
However, Lem's career as a cop soon came to a screeching halt.
The unpleasant part of the story is that he had a fight with his wife, and it was physical, and his mother-in-law called the cops. The cops came to the house, took her statement, and he was going to be thrown out of the police force with a hearing. So before he had the hearing, he decided to resign.
Davidson uncovered this fact by obtaining Lem's police records with the help of former Mayor James Baker.
Unlike everybody else around him, he understood why I would want this file to write a biography, especially since I hardly had any documents from any other place. So about 6 days later, I'm sitting in the police department's office of the chief of the police, and he's going page by page in the file and giving me a file, and then he said there was something he wasn't going to give me, which was really kind of annoying. So I'll never know exactly what that is. I mean, I don't know what could be more embarrassing than being charged with battery and run out of the police department. I don't know what other detail in the file is more embarrassing than that. I have no idea.
After resigning from the police force, Lem turned to music full-time.
I think there was probably, from what I hear from his brother George, pressure to keep a stable job, because he had three kids and he had to support them. And it was kind of insane to suddenly decide, I think I'll be a jazz musician to support my three kids.
Shirley Scott says in conversations with Millie Cannon, she suspected Lem might be bipolar.
She said, you know, I believe that's what was wrong with Lem. And had we really known and paid attention, you know, that maybe he could have gotten the help that he needed, you know, because he would really fly off the handle and the mood swings were very present.
Sometimes those mood swings would present themselves as temper tantrums.
He had a pattern of temper tantrums that were very, very dangerous. He loved guns. He kept guns. He shot at Millie a few times.
Not only was he fixated on guns, but he was also obsessed with risk-taking and would line his siblings up in the backyard, shooting apples or cans off of their heads. His risk-taking personality carried over into all aspects of his life. Davidson again.
He used to set off firecrackers in the police locker room so people would think they were gunshots. Kind of crazy stuff like that.
Sims recalls his reckless nature on his motorcycle, standing up on it and riding carelessly with both of his sons. Eventually, his mother successfully persuaded him to give up the motorcycle, bribing him with a car instead.
You give up the motorcycle, I'll buy you a car. She bought him a 46 Chrysler. I never been brand new, just for him to get off that motorcycle with them boys. He had one up in the front here and in the back flying through the project.
But eventually this reckless attitude caught up with Lem just a year after leaving the police force.
He had a headache, so he asked the bartender for an aspirin. So when the bartender opened the drawer, he was actually the owner of the club too. Lem Winchester saw that he had a gun. So Lem Winchester said, let me show you this trick I used to do with my police service revolver. So he used to take out all the bullets except one, and he used to put it to his head and go click and scare the living daylights out of his friends.
But this time his Russian roulette trick didn't work.
So he screwed up the trick and blew his brains out. And it's my theory that that's why he hasn't gotten his due as far as being honored in Wilmington and recognized, even though 50 years after his death, there are record companies that are putting out his CDs.
Davidson insists Lem wasn't suicidal, and Shirley Scott agrees.
There were things lined up for him. So I know that this was the last thing on his mind when he played that, the game that he normally played, but he did not have his service revolver. And that, you know, that was the end of that.
Davidson says everything went downhill for Lem's family and his legacy after his death.
Lem Winchester's mother-in-law, after Lem accidentally shot himself, his mother-in-law, who didn't like him, took all of his sheet music and recordings and dumped them in the trash.
His wife was forced to find work as a domestic worker. Life wasn't easy for Lem's children either, or the community. But many, like Sims, choose to remember Lem for the musical legacy he's left behind.
Last thing I heard him play was at the Round Table playing Polka Dots and Moonbeams. I always thought that was his favorite song anyhow.
One of his favorite Lem Winchester tunes, Down Fuzz.
Down mean you hip, you know everything, you know all these, so he was a down fuzz.
The copyright has expired on Lem's music, and Scott says his family doesn't receive any royalties from the companies in the U.S. and abroad putting out his music today.
But one thing that they do benefit from, and that's from being in the same family and having these two people to share, Millie and Lem.
For Delaware Public Media, I'm Megan Pauley.